Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Reverend James Lathede. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
Well, think about Twinkies now. Yellow dye number 5.
Exactly.
Reminds me of my favorite Christmas movie. Die Hard. I know there's some bad language in it and everything, but actually, you know, people say it's a Christmas movie. I think it's a Christmas movie, but you know what? There's a good argument to be made that Die Hard, the movie, is actually a Hanukkah story. Yes, because you have somebody who is up against overwhelming odds, an overwhelming army, if you will, having to fight off and save his people with limited resources. I would consider that a Hanukkah story. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's one of my favorite Christmas verses. And I was so glad to see that my children this past week at their school, that was their memory verse. And to hear them give that verse was just, it was beautiful to start to understand that. My other favorite Christmas verse is Luke 2. Starting verse 11, well, it's verse 10. Then the angel said to them, let me go with 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Could you imagine being surprised by something so supernatural? And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Could you imagine feeling all of a sudden the weight and the gravity of the presence of God and the knowledge of God's existence in front of you? And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A couple of weeks ago, an officer, fellow employee, he got into a horrible car accident. He was hit, T-boned by a tow truck, one of the big flatbed tow trucks. It had a car on top on it as well, so the extra weight. Seeing pictures of the car, I was sitting there going, how did anybody survive that? I mean, it was a miracle that he's alive. He's got a long road to recovery, but he's alive. and he has a family that surrounds him. That happened on like a Friday. Saturday, we're trying to reach out a little bit to the family. As a chaplain, I was trying to reach out and so forth, but also respect privacy. That's what we have to do. Sunday, talked to our boss and said, hey, we'd like to get out to a hospital visit. We're at least be able to see the family and offer our support. And he said, of course. And he was not at work or anything like that. So I talked to one of our supervisors that was on duty that day and said, hey, this is what we're planning on doing. And the first thing this person said was, well, what if they don't want you there? And I was like, what? What do you mean? Well, I mean, if I got into a car accident, I don't think I'd really want you there either. I'm like, now, this wasn't personal. It was the fact that I was a chaplain from work, and they were worried that somebody would be offended. I said, if all of a sudden everything had been taken away from you and you were in excruciating pain, you're telling me that you wouldn't want somebody there. Yes, exactly. And not just have somebody there, but have somebody there that wants to share in your pain. And this hit me hard because I was sitting there going, what? I can't imagine, especially us as Christians, not wanting to share in that pain and grief, as we all do, because nobody wants to be alone. And we know that we're not alone. We know we're not alone. We know that we have somebody that has already gone through it for us, right? So this got me to thinking quite a bit. And I realized, you know, as Christmas was coming up, and I already told you about one of my favorite Christmas verses in Luke 2 with the shepherds, that the Christmas message to a lot of people is offensive. So why is it offensive? Luke 2:11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a what? Savior. A savior. Why is that offensive? Exactly. And we need a Savior. I believe all of us that are here in this room understand that we need a Savior. But I just kind of wanted to go through this a little bit. What separates us from God? Sin. Did God create sin? Oh, now I'm getting you to think. I'm getting you to think about this now. Well, a little bit of theology here. Maybe a little bit of apologetics. Did God create sin? No, of course not. What is sin then? And this sin is rebellion. It's a byproduct of rebellion from our choices. our freedom to choose, right? And if God did not create sin, he did not create it because of his goodness, it is impossible for him to create sin. Therefore, it is impossible for him to be anywhere near sin because of his perfect goodness. There is a world that does not understand this. It revolts against it. There is a lie in what drives the offense of the gospel. So I'm going to give three reasons why, what those lies are, okay? A, I can become like God, Genesis 3:5, the original lie, meaning that I can create my own morality, my own sense of right and wrong. I can be the master of my own self. And the reason why this is a lie is because now I don't have to be accountable to anything or to anyone, right? Problem with this is that in doing this, becoming like God, I'm actually elevating myself above God, right? And if I am my own God, then what exactly do I need saving from? Why would I need a savior? Number two, knowing that there is something bigger than us, a creator, then I could be accountable, which means that I will most likely be punished for something, for not doing something good, which then creates in my mind the idea of an unloving creator. But if I do good things, then maybe I'll just make it, I'll cut the team, right? I'll earn my way into heaven, and after all, a loving God couldn't possibly want to punish everyone. And if he did, then why would I want to go along with that? And I don't need a savior. And then D, that was my Christmas reference to Home Alone. There is no God, nothing. There's nothing. By the way, there's about 7% of the American population that is actually atheist. I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, there's always, we're all lying, thieving, adulterous murderers. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. And we need a savior. So going back to the hospital story. finally got the time to be able to go down that Sunday to the hospital. And one of the guys I respect a lot, he's a supervisor. He had worked with this officer for a few years and knew him really well. And he knew that I was going, so he said, "Hey, can I go?" I said, "Great." And so we ended up going down. Of course, we had some great conversation going down to Dartmouth, 2-hour ride. He says, "I haven't been able to get a hold of the family. Apparently you have." I was like, "No, I haven't." He's like, "What? What if we don't see the family or anything like that? You know, we're not going to be able to see him. What are we going down for?" I was like, "I don't know. We're going down, and hopefully I can establish contact with the family. If not, two things. If I do, and they're offended and don't want to see me, then I'll turn around and go back home. If they're not there, then I'll turn around and go back." Right? So we get to the hospital and everything, and we're in a marked car, and so we walked in the hospital and went into, if you've ever been to Dartmouth, you got the big rotunda there and the desk there. You go up to the desk, and I said, "Yeah, we're here to see so and so. He's in ICU." And the lady at the desk looks it up and everything, and she goes, "He's not in ICU. He's actually in OR right now." And it's like, "Huh, darn it." And just as I said to myself, "Darn it," this lady just walked by and said, "Are you here to see so-and-so?" I said, "Yes." It was his sister. Right? Yeah. And of course, the car ride back with the guy I was with was like, "How did that, what just happened?" I said, "It was just coincidence. That's all. It's just coincidence." But we sat with her for, oh my gosh, about 3-4 hours, you know, and just offered to support her and their family and everything, and it was good. I mean, it was really good. But this brought to light the whole hospital story I'm talking about. I'm bringing to light the fact that, one, you know, why are people so afraid? Why are they so offended? And two, why do they want to push us away, right? And also, why do we want to continue trying to support people, trying to show people who we are? When we're constantly assaulted, we're constantly despised, we're labeled. What's the one now? Christian nationalist? You white Christian nationalist, you. So hateful. You hateful people. You bigots. You bigots. Isaiah 60. I know this is your favorite. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your rising. Now, I can understand that when you take this verse into context, it is talking about Israel. It's talking about Jerusalem. And maybe some people would be a little bit uncouth to take this verse and to replace it for you. But that's already been done for us. So it's not. It was done by Paul in Ephesians. So it is biblical. This is for you. Your light has come. Whose light has come? Jesus. And this prophetic evidence is over 700 years before he came. The prophecies in Micah for the Lord's coming, it's over 700 years before Christ. One thing that we don't do very well as Christians when we're reading our Bible is understand that everything in the Old Testament is referring to who? Jesus. And if you're not reading your Old Testament and understanding that and looking for every little kernel, every little nugget that points to Jesus, then the New Testament is going to be a little bit more difficult for you. This is the evidence that points to Christ. This evidence alone would be overwhelming evidence in a court of law. Right? Your light has come. Jesus. Jesus has come to us. I like the fact that he came at such a time in our history where it could not be any more perfect. The way that the world was in, the state of the nature of the world at that point, the Roman Empire under Augustus Caesar was probably at the pinnacle of society, of human flourishing in society of that time. It was powerful. There are still roads built by the Romans at that time that still exist. The technology, the ingenuity of the Roman Empire was amazing. And then as we see in Paul's ministry, going out to the Gentiles, how you can't make this stuff up, how Paul's word was able to flourish around the Mediterranean as it did because of that moment in time and the modes of travel was perfect conditions. Your light has come, the way, the truth, the life, the manner in which he came, being birthed by a female as a human, incarnate. And going back to the prophetic evidence, even Peter, 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12, utters this prophetic evidence of this salvation, verse 10, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The Spirit of Christ was in who? The prophets. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. So those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. That same spirit that testified to the prophets is the same spirit that's in you. You. Same spirit. He defeated sin and death with him and in him. We are victors. Why would we not want to abide with him and shine? So, with this chapter, Isaiah 60, I'm giving you reasons why we would not want to shine, okay? Number two, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I said that the same spirit that was in the prophets that testified to Jesus is in us, right? We carry the presence of our Savior with us. He is the light, and we can't shine without him. We cannot reflect who he is if he is not inside of us. So there's a reason that the angel appears to shepherds in Luke 2. And the first thing he tells them to do what is, do not be afraid. That's said 365 times in the Bible, one for each day. It's your daily reminder. You wake up in the morning, it should be hearing in your voice, hearing your head, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The joy in knowing that we have a Savior is that fear is no longer a ruling factor in our natural lives. When I think about Christmas and the birth of Christ, it is the knowledge of joy. And Linda, thank you for saying that this morning. Joy is not dependent on our conditions. Happiness is an experience, an emotion, sadness, all of these things. But even through the negative, the sadness, and we can still experience joy because of Christ, because of what he is, because what he did for us, because he is the Savior. And knowing that we have a Savior is the source of our joy. And as Christians, that should be the hallmark of who we are. Joy. I can tell you that my joy almost felt defeated when I was talking to that person who said, what if they don't want you there? There's a lot of things in this world that wants to defeat, compress, govern our joy. And we experience that not only on a daily basis within our own personal little lives here and there, but on a magnitude of a world scale, right? We feel the pressures of culture on top of us. We feel the pressure of international struggles, war, economics, wanting to crush our joy. But we as Christians, we need to grab a hold of that. We need to remind ourselves daily what the source of our joy is, that joy is not going anywhere other than outward. Yes? And that means reducing our fear. Not just reducing it, but throwing it in the garbage can. And that's what joy can do. It can take that fear and say, not today. Not today. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. I don't know about you, But I've seen a lot of people that are in real darkness. I also want you to remember that this prophetic passage is foretelling the end of the age. Are we in end times? Are we in end times, people? There's a lot of darkness already here, more on the horizon. Morally, are we not seeing a degradation of morality here in the United States, at least, if not the world, right? Are we under assault? I think the scripture that comes to my mind every time I think about this is Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for what? Light. And light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm always amazed by hearing some people say, don't put your morality on me, man. Oh, what? Yeah, I don't need any of your Christian nationalism to, you know, express itself in our laws and everything, you know. Don't want your morality on. Don't push your morality on us. I'm like, well, that's interesting, because I'm thinking about a lot of laws that are on the books right now, and I didn't place them there. those laws didn't come from me. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure that you're enjoying having some of those laws on the books. I'm just, you know, like rape, murder. You know, I think we can agree that those laws are okay, but you know, not sure.
What makes murder wrong? Morality.
Right? When I go back to what I was talking about in the beginning, if you are your own God and you make your own rules on what's right and wrong, then what is the difference between what you think is right and wrong, for instance? Hitler. Well, I guess what Hitler did to the Jews was apparently okay. That's interesting. So it sounds like you're looking at truths and making them up, which doesn't mean that they're truths at all. Just means that they're opinions. Thankfully, we have somebody called the truth, and that we are constantly seeking, right? Spiritually, we see people rebelling against God, whether they're turning to atheism, paganism, or outright Satanism. I was just reminded of a tree lighting in one city somewhere nearby where they actually invited the Satanists to come and place something on the tree. And I was like, I saw a meme with what's his name from Home Improvement? Tim Allen. He said it has the word Christ in it. Christ must
mass.
Yes, that would imply that it's a religious holiday. So think about spiritually, the darkness has completely enveloped them as they gave in to fear and despair of their lives, trying to live the lie that has been repeatedly told to them, that they are their own God. I was reading an interesting article. Where did I put it? Oh, yeah. And so it's always the headlines that catch me. And I just sit there and just shake my head. And the title is called Gen Z and Millennial Women Are Waking Up to the Lies Feminists Fed Them. Now they are upset and alone. So I had to take a quote out of that article, and the woman that they were interviewing, she says, quote, "The truth is, this purportedly liberated path women have been groomed to travel has a domino effect. Because if the goal isn't marriage and family, what is the goal? To be satisfied with being single forever because at least you have a paycheck and no one to whom you must answer? I don't want to wake up at 60 and say, oh, well, I had a lot of fun. I find it humorous. You know, it's proving my point that there are so many lies that are being fed to so many people. And this is the darkness. This is the darkness that we're having to step in and interact with. Right? Trying to keep on point here, guys. I'm trying. I thought it was pretty funny. I'm like, proves my point, you know? Gee, I wonder what God's design was for you in the first place. You know, and we think this is just outside the church. Oh, I'm bringing the church into this, not our church. I'm bringing the church into this. And we have the progressive Christians, the progressive church, and what they are doing to themselves. I mean, they jumped full into the deep end, corrupting and perverting the truth while subjugating many people to a lie that their sin is okay and should be celebrated. Yeah. How about emotionally? We have the mental health crisis, confusion of the subjective self, as I was talking about, making yourself your own God, just arbitrarily deciding on what you think is right and wrong because it just feels right. Transgenderism. I was reading a book a while ago by a man named Rod Dreher. He wrote a book called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. And the detail he puts into understanding how transgenderism has arrived at our door, it's an amazing book, an amazing book. DEI. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Yes. Well, we're really talking about tolerance. Tolerance. I mean, we should tolerate everyone. Except if you're white and you're a Christian. They're not so tolerant, right? Because after all, we're just hateful bigots. Yeah, you see that coexist bumper? I hate that coexist bumper. It drives me insane. Not so tolerant then. So a lot of this sermon, actually, Jen should be preaching this sermon because we've had some discussions in this area, and the reason why I'm giving this sermon today. We've had a lot of discussions about Jen's work because in her profession, DEI, tolerance, and so forth has intruded into her workspace. And not to speak too much for Jen, but there are times where you question, is it time for me to pack up and leave? And the discussions we've had over this have been amazing because my wife always brings everything to God. But conclusion is that Jen knows that God says, no, I need you there. I need you there. Arise and shine, for your light has come. All of these difficulties that we're facing in this world, the darkness that we are encountering and stepping into and having to navigate through and so forth, we're not being asked to pull away. We're not being told to pull away. We're being told to shine. To shine. We must remember that we were once darkness. You heard me right. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Continue doing this, and you will shine. His light has been put on you. You are to reflect that. Because you know what light does in darkness? At night, been around a campfire, or you're in a campground, and you've got that light. All of a sudden, what do you see hovering around that light? What kinds of bugs? Light attracts things in the darkness. The point of you trying to be the light is hoping that you will attract the people that are looking for the truth. And that's why I bring up the people that are living in the lie and being sold completely into the lie, that if we just stand there as a light, I'm not saying going into the darkness and... Yeah. Although I want to. I want to. There's just like, I want to get in there and say, this is stupid. You're stupid. Don't be stupid. And there's a lot of stupid people there. And I'm talking about Christians. There's a lot of stupid Christians. I'm sorry. We've got some crazy ideas. I say that out of love. I'm trying. But if we just stand there, if we can just stand there and shine so brightly with his presence and his light that has been shown upon you, that you can reflect that light and show who Jesus is and show what the truth is. Because truth is reality. You're bringing somebody out of an alternate reality, out of something that is not real, and then bringing them to what is the ultimate reality. They can understand that they were living a lie. And that's the whole point. That's what we're trying to get at. Awake, rise. The way, the truth, and the life. They desire to see the real, the authentic, authentic. What is the ultimate reality? A couple of months ago, my wife had told me about somebody who had reached out to her that had met her a few years ago through work. They're not working in the same place. I'm trying to be vague about this because I don't want to talk about this or just let anybody know who the person was or anything like that. But Jen was working one day, and the person reached out to her through online and said that all of a sudden that they had accepted Christ. and how excited she was and how everybody should know what the joy that she was experiencing. And a lot of us remember that joy when we first came to Christ, you know, and which that joy is still in you. It's hard to sometimes reach in there and remember that joy. We need to do that daily. But I was sitting there saying, well, that's amazing. That's awesome. I'm so excited to hear about this. And so I didn't know she didn't say who it was. And then one day, one Sunday morning, I came in here, and you know what? I was in a bad place. I was frustrated with so many things, and sometimes I can get dug up in what the world is doing. And I was frustrated that morning. And the worship team, we're all sitting around praying. And I admitted that I'd been going through some frustrations and so forth. Anyway, Jen started talking about this person who had contacted her online while she was at work. And then she said the person's name. And it was a person that I had worked with several years prior. And I knew her very well. And I remember praying for her to receive Christ so many years prior. And I remember sitting there thinking as I was praying, this is the last person I'm ever going to see become a Christian. And I'll never forget the joy that came into me. It knocked me out of that frustration and everything that I was feeling. And I sat there and I said, I couldn't believe it. And I was so excited about that. And it was a reminder. Now I use that as a reminder now that
nothing is impossible with God.
Thank you, Joan. Nothing is impossible with God. But that no matter how difficult things can get, we can always go back to the Christmas story. We can always go back to that well of what joy, where joy comes from. And with that joy, we can remember to arise and shine, because the world is going to get darker than it is now, believe it or not. The world is going to come at you harder. Jesus told us that the world hates you because it hates him. And it's not going to get easier. And so this is supposed to be about encouragement. So this is a reminder. Do not shrink away. Do not pull back. If you fall down, get back up. Because the world is not sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns. We may slumber now and again in our Christian life. I'm telling you, awake. Rise. The light of the Lord. The Spirit is behind Christmas. The Spirit that was in the prophets to foretell his coming. The Spirit of Christ is upon you and in you. You are called to reflect that. In Jesus' name. Can we stand? Father God, we are so thankful of the gift that you have sent to us. We know where joy comes from, that we do need a Savior. We have all fallen short. But we thank you for sending that Spirit and saving us. We thank you for now seeing us as blameless. We thank you for the gift of light, that we will shine in the darkness, that we will attract those from the darkness that want to know the truth. We thank you for reminding us that we need to awake and to rise and to stand. And we will stand in your love. And we will do all things in your love. Father, we thank you for the gift of Christ. And we praise your name forever and ever. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. And feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others. Thank you.